Welcome to MEFCAST, the Global Telecom Agenda. Listen to us to get to know more of communication technologies, innovations, and their impact on our lives. Happy listening! Hi listeners, now you are listening to the episode from MEF Global Forum recorded in February 2024. With Ross Flynn, the former program manager from MEF, Patricia Peiro, Chief Strategy Officer from Telecom Inc., and Gabby Boss, the CEO and owner from Content for Mobile.
Gaming is absolutely massive. It brings in hundreds of billions every year. But if we think about the way that we monetize games, for a long time, the variety of ways was very stagnant. I remember when I was a kid, I bought my first game. It was Ratchet & Clank on the PlayStation 2. It was best day ever, but it cost 60 euro. So I saved up my pocket money for ages, and I went to the shop and I bought it. And for a long time, that was the only way you could really get games, with some exceptions. But with the invention of the smartphone and the subsequent, you know, App Store revolution, now kids don't have to wait. They can play games for free. There's subscription models available. There's all sorts of options that they have. So I'd like to welcome my speakers. Please come on up. We have Patricia Peiro Hergueta, who is the Chief Strategy Officer for Telecom Inc. Please, a round of applause. And we have Gabby Bosch, who's CEO and owner of Content for Mobile. Perfect, take a seat. Excellent. So, Patricia, do you want to introduce yourself first and tell us a little bit about Telecom Inc.?
Yes, for sure. Hello, everyone. Thank you. I'm Patricia. I work as a Chief Strategy Officer for Telecom Inc. Telecom Inc. is an international company. And what we do is to develop amazing mobile experience for sports and entertainment. That's why we are talking about gaming today. And then we distribute them among telco operators in 18 countries. So I'm very happy to be here, and we have been members of MEF for a while. Mm-hmm. So thanks for the invitation.
No problem. Perfect. And Gabby, do you want to introduce Content for Mobile?
Thanks, Ross. First of all, thanks for asking me. CFM, international company. We're doing three verticals, I would say, which is gaming, esports, sports streaming. And on the personal side, 30 years in VES industry, and keen on visiting Mobile World and MEF.
Yeah, thank you. All right, Patricia, we'll start off with yourself. You know, when it comes to payment models in gaming, what are the big opportunities for you know, extracting game revenue at the moment?
I got this question. Thank you very much. I'm prepared for this. Yes. So, well, I think that you know, the important thing to understand is that gaming is a very big sector that is going to keep to being on the rise for the next years. According to Juniper Research, our analyst from London, they expect for gaming to become the biggest vertical in the digital content industry in 2026. So it's going to be higher or bigger than video, so that's very important. But still, there are some challenges, there are some opportunities for monetizing. I think we need to remember that gamers, they are loyal to the name, to the license, to the name of the game, and not only to the platform. So having the right licenses would be very interesting. If you are trying to make a platform for gamers, you need to count or to give it, to integrate in your portfolio this kind of big licenses, because the gamer will remember that. Also, just check with to new, different, or think a little bit out of the box for the different revenue streams. In that sense, we are attending some verticals like video, for example, big OTTs that are combining what we call the hybrid model with advertisement and subscription. So that could make sense also to consider this in gaming. And I think Gabby may have more ideas about that, because he's much more gamer than me.
Sure. Gabby, do you have anything to add there?
I would say good products and find the right companies for the operators to work with. Yeah.
Is it important for operators to kind of localize their offerings depending on the region?
Yeah, most definitely. I think if you are in a country where feature phones, for example, is still 50% of your market, you should definitely adapt your products to such a market. Or if, on the other hand, you see that 95% of the market is the iOS, etc., Android, in that case, you can offer a more advanced product like cloud gaming or esports, etc.
Yeah.
So yeah, definitely that's first question if you enter into a market, either as an operator or as a content partner.
Yeah. Patricia, do you have anything to add in terms of like regions? Are there like any interesting regions that you've seen where operators have responded to, you know, the tastes in that region? Or
yeah, I think that the good thing is that gaming is very big and they coexist a lot of type of games. You know, you have casual games like you know, big licenses we all know, but we have casual games. Candy Crush, for example, for me is I'm really really heavy users of Candy Crush. So you have casual games, but you also have big and very strong games with capabilities in terms of graphics and, you know, that they use out of network. And this is like, you know, Fortnite, all this stuff. You have also all the cloud gaming that people are, there's multiplayer opportunities for gamers as well. So you can choose from all these offer. You need to adapt it to the region you are going. And Gabi was absolutely right when he was saying, if you are going to into a market that is 50% of feature phones or the network capabilities are not strong enough, it's not going to be interesting to sell a big license like Fortnite or Call of Duty where gamers will be, you know, will shut down the network, so the experience will be awful. In that sense, you can find other alternatives that could be absolutely good.
Yeah. Gabi, you know, are there any sort of new success stories that are coming out of gaming that are unlocking sort of new revenue streams?
Yep, I think most definitely. If you look at current year, and this is not only us working on this, but I would say cloud gaming, definitely great opportunity. Esports, sports streaming. Some amazing products which are already out there, but they're continuously developing.
In terms of cloud gaming, is this? Do you think that a subscription model is suited for cloud gaming, or what are kind of the payment models that are used within it?
I think there's three ways. Free, freemium, and subscription or paid.
Yeah.
It all depends on the audience. Sometimes you can question yourself. If somebody is not willing to pay and they only want to go the free model, would they ever go to upgrade and pay? It all depends on the offering. I've seen some great esports app, which was called Glitch. I can talk about them. They're not there anymore. it was a great app. It was about social esports, etc. And they spent millions of euros getting this app alive and getting it monetized. But actually, they were offering it for free. And it was difficult for them to upgrade people towards a next level or anything. And I could see them; they were talking to us like how to monetize. And yeah, when I saw it, I was like, "Ooh, this is going to be difficult even to help you guys." And they went bankrupt because they were having a lot of free players and audience who were coming in for free.
Yeah.
But they couldn't monetize it in the end. And I think this is where VES comes in.
Yeah. Yep. So yeah. So it's tricky with the free model to not make sure it's not too free in a way. Patricia, I wonder if you could talk about esports a little bit and just I can see
Gabi was already looking at me like esports.
When's he gonna say it?
Yeah, thank you. Yeah, I'm very happy to talk about esports because it's the bridge with esports that we are very very strong in. So we are really focused on esports as well because it's a there is something in esports, the competition, the fact of having the competition there among gamers is bringing up the connection, an emotional connection between the service and the users because they are really engaged with this because they are following the competition. And this feeling, it comes from sports itself, from the big competition we all know. And we have an opportunity here to find this emotional connection in the gaming industry. And it's very powerful in terms of acquisition, it's very powerful in terms of engagement. And you know, all these KPIs that are very interesting for all the players in the industry can bring us many interesting opportunities. So yes, esports, the definitely can be a big opportunity for the coming years.
Gabi, do you have anything to add on the esports side?
Well, I think Patricia already talked about on the esports. No. I think when we tapped into the esports industry about 3 years ago, the only remarkable thing was I was amazed by the engagement. And esports is quite a new sport compared to football, etc. And what was really fun for me to see when I'm attending esports events or talking to organizers, etc., is they're needing each other. It's an evolving sport, and this was really for me a big difference between football. If you see football, the fans are not liking each other too much, etc. And what I see with esports, it's more comrades. It is a community. I loved it.
And now we have in Spain. I don't know if you know about Kings League. You have heard about that. It's a absolutely innovative model with gamers. They are president of football clubs. They play in the Camp Nou. There were 50,000 people last time watching the final, and they are gamers. And the rules of the game, it's not about football only. It's like a little bit different. Super fun, very casual, and you know, they are like this. So it's a bit crazy. Kings League. Now we have Kings League for sure, and they are expanding into Latin America. And it's a Spanish product, but it's getting really, really popular.
That's cool. Yeah. I want to talk about a little bit about freemium, the freemium model. You mentioned it, Gabby. Do you think that there's multiple definitions of freemium? Like, that it's not just one set definition? Or, Gabby, maybe do you want to jump on that?
When you invited me, the first thing I did was checking actually on the internet. Wikipedia, like, okay, what's freemium? What it's definitely not is like offering something for 24 hours for free and then upgrade.
Yeah.
That's not freemium. Huh? This is basically standard paying. Huh? So definition of freemium. What I read on the internet was like, okay, go in for free and pay for the upgrade, for a next level, for a device within your game, a gun within your game, etc. I'm trying to address this in my own words. So upgrade within game, either next level or an extra.
Cool. Patricia, what advice would you give to operators when they're trying to determine what payment model to use with their games and what strategy to use?
Well, I mean, the first thing we tell telcos is they must rely on telecom. A very blooming moment with new devices like the glasses and all these that are opening new opportunities as well. So if you want to be there, and you know, the telcos, they have an opportunity because they are bringing the net for all the customers, but they need to offer innovative products and not only buy licenses but also new formats and rely on the right partner to bring it to the right market. So that's what we would
Gabby, I was wondering about sort of new hardware and how that will affect gaming monetization. I mean, do you think that VR will have an impact? Should operators or people who are making games monetize games differently when it's VR? Or
you're talking VR, right?
Yeah, VR. Virtual reality.
Definitely. You can already see. I must admit, within our offerings, we don't have it yet. Mm. But definitely, there are some competitors out there already offering VR products.
Yeah.
Most definitely, hardware like that is gonna enforce each other.
Yeah.
VR. I would say the other one, huh? Cloud gaming.
Cloud gaming.
The moment the speed is there, it's not your Tetris you're playing anymore on your mobile phone, but you can really work on your mobile and compete against others via the cloud.
Yeah. Patricia, I'm wondering, do you have any predictions for the future of mobile gaming? You know, how the landscape will look down the line?
Yeah, well, I think we need to have an eye on consoles. that they are always keeping a big part of the market, even if there is a big opportunity for smartphones and for, you know, for the mobile devices that we know, tablets and that. Consoles, they remain the highest ticket or the highest spend is on consoles because of the nature of the gaming. So we need to keep an eye on that, just to be able to compete in that sense. What he was, what Guy was saying about cloud computing, I think it's a perfect example because it's it fits perfect for telcos in the sense that the user is going to increase the use of data and the use of the network. That's the core business of the telco. So it's going to be first. Secondly, it makes totally sense, the subscription model, because you have all you can eat and you're always going there. So it makes perfect sense. And you know, it's social, that it's that's very important now because all that is interactive, it's gaining more popularity. So in that sense, I think cloud gaming can be clearly a driver for the industry.
Yeah, I think we've touched on some good points. I mean, localization is obviously essential. You know, and I think one of you mentioned how gaming is a community as well, and to understand that it's not just a sort of form of entertainment that you're consuming, but it's a whole, you know, world basically. So we're coming towards the end of the session. But Gabby, maybe for closing off, if there are any operators in the room, what advice would you give them when it comes to monetizing games?
Work with the right partners, I would say. I think an example.
Pick your partners carefully.
No. Not just us.
We're gonna start here. Okay,
yeah.
Come on, Gabby. We're gonna start here. It's a good beginning.
Yeah.
I think 15 years ago, we were working already with mobile operators where they had their own portal where you could buy ringtones, music, or watch sports, etc. And over there, you could see already like some operators wanted to do it themselves, and they had difficulty monetizing this. And this is where the content parties came in and the VAS aggregators, where we were working together. If we were working together, it was working. Work with the right partners in order to monetize this would be my advice.
Okay, great.
And you can do it yourself, of course, but I think this is not core business of the operator.
Yeah. Exactly. We're out of time, but we have time for some quick questions. Are there any questions in the audience? Yeah, we have one over here. We'll get you a mic now.
Can you just announce
say
your
name
and
your company? Thank you.
Hey there, Mick Conrad with iConnective. So I think you could argue that, or I would argue that operators did a pretty bad job in monetizing video, right? Forget games for a second. That's been around for 10 years, 15 years. Some of them tried, right? And they made acquisitions and they tried and failed. Why do you think they'll be able, any operator out there will be able to monetize games? I mean, what's different from video?
Well, I think the time of passive consumption of the user is ending, in a sense. I mean, we are attending a new generation of users that are asking for interactivity. They are social, they are creative, they are the generation of user-generated content moment. So I think all these trends will help to increase all the services that have some kind of interaction. So that's why esports, cloud gaming, I think that's related to community, that could make rise. Also that it's because they are entering new devices in that sense. You know, imagine when I talk about extended reality, I always say it's like a new channel of distribution. Imagine that you are selling Coca-Cola. You used to sell Coca-Cola in any retailers, you know, I don't know, maybe Carrefour or, I don't know, Mercadona, whatever. And then you discover the gas station. So you can sell Coca-Cola in a gas station. You know, it's a new place to distribute. And extended reality are opening a new way of distribution for gaming. So they are going to increase as well. Extended reality for video doesn't make much sense. You know, because being in, I mean, yeah, you can, but so in that sense, you have new distribution channels with new formats. You have new coming generations that are asking for something different. So I think it's like a nice momentum there for gaming.
Excellent. All right. Well, I think we're out of time. Thank you to my expert speakers, and hopefully next
Thank
we'll
you.
Be here
Thank
next
you
year
much.
As well.
Thanks. Thanks.
If you enjoyed this podcast, follow us to get more updates and visit www.mobileecosystemforum.com. Insight, interaction, impact.